Emise, Zain, and Strom, Lass, and Hardly, a flu, Place, Wunder, Basti, Leder, Slam, Dachstrahlet, and Glens, Terry, Fiery, a flu, Vame, Jesus, Wasser, Pekan,
Osele, Ibiteri, Kam, Konsucht diesen
herrlichen Strom, sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig wie, O Glaube, es fließt für dich, wohin dieser Strom sich nur immer geht, da jubelt und jauchzt das Herz, Das nun mehr in Kästlichen Segen genießt, erleistet von Sorgen und Schmerz. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb. O Glaube, es fließt für dich. Der Strom ist kräftig und sein Wasser ist klar. Es schmeckt so lieblich und fein. Es heilet die Kranken und stärkt wunderbar. Ja, machet die Unreinsten rein. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb. O Glaube, es fließt für dich. Das Wasser des Lebens, das ist diese Flut. Der Jesum ergibt sich, sein kostbares, teures und heiliges Blut, O Sünde, vergaß er für dich. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb. O Glaube, es fließt für dich. Wenn ihr setzt der Kalle und trinke sich satt, so rufet der Geist und die Braut, nur wer in dem Strome gewaschen sie hat, Das Angesicht Gottes anschaut. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb. O Glaube, es fließt für dich.
Well, if you're searching, like you and I were searching, your search is over. It says here's that stream. That kind of discontinues. Back in the day when we were searching, we found it to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and this we're just continuing on with it. Mm-hmm. This is the end of your search. If you're searching, if you're not searching, you ain't going to find nothing. You got to search. Unless somebody sometimes bump into something. But if you're not searching, you're not going to find it. It's just that simple. It is that.
If you're not searching for the things of God, how will you know, you know, and what to look for, you know?
Yeah, if you search for wealth, then this chapter is not for you. Mm-hmm. But if you're searching for satisfy your soul, your soul is hungry for real reality and truth, This is where it's at. This is the final. This is where you'll find it. Because we're just continuing on with the program. We're floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we hear the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. The lifeboat soon is coming. By eyes of faith I see, as she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends we love so dear. Get ready, Christ the captain. Oh, look, she's almost here. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. I love once we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Oh, now it's time to get on board while she is passing by. But if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. The fare is paid for one and all. The captain bids you come and get on board the lifeboat. She'll carry you safely home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is high. nations great and small. Friends and families could take them all. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my Charlie One. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? I'll gain this world but lose my soul. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then I'll see his blessed face. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child you want. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Going home, going home, there is nothing to hold me here, for I caught a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home, going home, going home. There is nothing to hold me. I caught a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home, going home, going home. There is nothing to hold me. I got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home. Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Without him I would be dying, without him I'd be enslaved, and without him my life would be worthless, but with Jesus, thank God I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. So I'll ask him to be my pilot, his word my comfort and guide, till I'm anchored safely in glory. For without him I'll drift with the tide. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, my Jesus. without him, how lost I would be. This is it. We're just sweeping the floor with what's been going on for the last 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
People don't believe us, mm-hmm. but they'll find out.
That's right.
This is that chapter. The seven church ages. Each church age had an angelic messenger. 2,000 years of the grace age. Very simple for you and I. Because we're not living in Lula land. We're not living in that religiology out here where the devil brings up all these traditions and religions to confuse the picture. We're living in the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the scriptures. This is going to be eternal life that they believe in them I will send. They divide the grace age, is divided. And 2,000 years of the grace, they divide the seven church ages. Each church age had an angelic message, angelic anointing. And if you believe that, you had eternal life, just that simple. Anything outside of that, Satan will get a hold of it, and he'll take you out to hell in that. Like like when the prophet was here, the devil sent up his thugs, his counterfeits, his Billy Grants and his Oral Roberts and these people. And they really, what it is, it's just to confuse the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know who to follow, what to do. But see, we saw through that, and we stuck with the program. We stuck with one of those that, once we found out about it, like we were saying earlier, we had the hunger and the thirst. We're searching for something. If you're not searching for nothing, you're not going to find
mm-hmm.
it. And we found it in the ministry of Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson, and then now God gave you and I the mandate and responsibility to put it out there and continue on with the program. If you listen to what we have to say, you can all tie it back to scriptures. Just that simple, because anything outside of those seven, that anointing from these seven angels, these seven stars of Jesus held in his right hand, anything outside of that, believe you me, the devil will get a hold of it, and he'll send in his antichrist, and he'll bring confusion in the camp, and that's exactly what happened right down through 2,000 years of history. After the early apostles went off the scene, in comes Satan with his antichrist. And I keep saying, they can do a better job than any Christian ever thought of being. Because behind it, it's the spirit of Satan. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to be very pious and religious. And oh, yikes. He can do a good job. That's what happened to that early church. The devil had that early church walking in circles in a short time. Just 300 years. It took him to completely confuse the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Then he brings in his diabolical satanic Trinity water baptism, and the church has been serving the devil for 2,000 years.
Right.
They don't even know it.
And they don't even know it.
And we come along, we tell them where it's at, and we tell them the truth. They run us out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we just keep marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth marching on. We want to continue with what we were talking about yesterday. There's nothing new under the sun. what we're doing. We're exposing that that makes it a preacher thing. There's so much in that thing that's because it deceived. It has been deceiving the people for 400 or 500 years, ever since Martin Luther was here. The so-called Christians, the Hutterites, and the Amish, and all these little religion cults, they took the wrong turn. You know, they should have stuck with what Martin Luther, that Church Age Messenger, had to say, to just to live by faith. But see, like we keep saying it, and then it's the truth. The devil, every time God does something, he's right there. And don't think he comes in with a bunch of pitchforks. He comes in with these holy rollers, with these real pious and religious and traditions. And he just fills mankind and gives two line of thoughts. And, he's a rebel rouser. And then he gives the people two line of thoughts, causes them to fight with one another. Is this what it means? Is that what it means? And before you know it, he'd bring confusion in the camp, and that's exactly what happened back after Martin Luther. When Martin Luther was here, he put that Roman Catholic Church out of business, and then the devil, he don't like that. He sends in his Antichrist. And we say things, the people have been brainwashed for 500 years, and think they're really following the right stream, but they should have stuck with what Martin Luther had to say back in 1520. And see, it didn't take very long, along comes Satan with the Zwingli group and with all these other groups, gives a two line of thought, and to this day you can see the fallout. It's all these cults all around the world, and we just set the record straight. We just happen to find out exactly what's been going on, because some time back I read that scripture. This is going to be eternal life that they believe on them whom I will send. Anything outside of that, believe you me, Satan will get a hold of it, and he'll just grab, and he'll take people out to hell at that. That's his job. But our job is to be sober, to be vigilant, and to do what, like Reagan said, every generation has a job to do. It's a responsibility for every generation to hold on to the things that have been taught before us. And that's what we're doing. We found grace in the eyes of God, and we began to see. We saw through all that religious garbage, because we went through their torture chambers. God had to allow us to go through their torture chambers and to teach us something. If we hadn't gone through their torture chambers, we don't know what they're talking about. When we talk about the torture chambers, we're talking mostly about these Hutterites and these cults that we come out of, and the Lord allowed it to be so that here in his end time, we take the wraps off and finish. And then we expose it for what it is, for what it has been for the last 500 years. How many people have been deceived, thinking, living in a commune and a socialistic system, they got to take it to glory. But see, we're putting out the truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. Like in chapter 1, it says, there's nothing new under the sun. And here, it's cleaning up the debris. That which had been now, and that which is to be, had already been. And God required that which is past. See, in other words, God's going to bring it all under judgment. Whatever exists now has already been. And whatever will be has already been. For God will seek to do again what has occurred in the past. Satan, there's nothing new under the sun. Satan, he just keeps rotating it, and every generation, if you don't know your history, and that's what the devil likes, he likes to hide the history of it, and then he's able to repeat it and repeat it, because he's got one ambition, to deceive the masses. Mm-hmm. We're just taking it back, and we're just going back in the days of Jesus, the same thing that's happening today, because there's nothing new under the sun. And we said yesterday, when they make a preacher, we went back into Matthew 23, and we saw exactly what happened back then, because it's exactly what it is today. Today, the devil is not dead. He's still He's him and his demons, they're still out there, and especially here in these closing days of time, where Jesus said it's going to be very hard to be a Christian at last day, because the deception will be of such magnitude that Satan will be out there 24/7 trying to deceive the masses. That's his whole plan, yeah, is simply to deceive the masses, and he's doing a good job at it because he's been at this ever, like, we keep going back to Martin Luther, because that's where the foundation of that thing came out, of these cults. It did. Martin Luther didn't preach that that you live in a community type setting. That's what Satan's thugs taught. That's what the Zwinglis and the Jakob Hutters and the Andre Ren, that's what they taught. But see, they were the opposing force. We keep repeating it. We keep saying it over and over again, so that people will get it. And we're just reaching back there because we know our history. To the men, if you haven't heard the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, especially Brother Jackson, where he went into history and he brought all these things out there that you and I are teaching today, and that you and I are talking about, because we got it from that great historian, Raymond M. Jackson. And that's why we know exactly what we're doing today. And the Lord has given you and I the responsibility now to do it out there and do exactly what he told Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to destroy. You know, destroy all that phony stuff out there that the day Satan has implemented for the last 500 years. To destroy it, to pull it down, to root it out, and to demolish it. And then to do what? And then once you've done that, then to build and to plant. To build it on the truth. The only thing you can build it with the truth. That's what we're doing. We're building the truth, and we're taking back, and Brother Branham came to do exactly what the Bible says he'll do. He'll turn us back to the apostolic faith of our fathers. So that's what you and I happen to tap into, and we're doing it gladly, because it's the only thing that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's why the things that you and I say, they're so foreign to a lot of people, because they've been deceived for 500 years. Mm-hmm. Here they've been thinking that just because they've been going on for 500 years, they think it's a thing of the glory, mm-hmm. living in that community-type setting. And now, as you see it.
That's exactly right. Like, when you look at it from the standpoint of the scripture, you can see what Satan has been up to. And it, like, he's a deceiver, and the things he does, he brings in confusion, like he did in the early church. He brought in confusion in order to bring in that Trinity baptism. And that's what has been going on in the church. But, you know, God never leaves his people without a comfort. He'll never leave them comfortless. Like in this last church age of Laodicea, he brought us back to that faith of the early church. He restored water baptism in Jesus' name, and all the truths that have been lost. That was what Brother Branham's role was, is to bring us back to that faith of the early church. And Brother Jackson, like you said, he was a great historian. And you know, he is, there's a difference between the historians out there that you see. They're all intellectually studied out in the things of, they take things of the Bible and they study it out. But Brother Jackson, like, see, when that anointing is over your life, like Brother Jackson had an anointing, mm-hmm. like from that angelic ministry, that's the difference between these theologians out there. They're just using their own intellect. Whereas Brother Jackson, he had that anointing of that seventh angel that was representing in the church age of Laodicea. And that's why he could bring out these things and align them up with the scripture, because that was what he was predestined to do. And because I searched for answers, like everywhere, I searched for answers and I couldn't find them until I came to Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Now, people can go all over creation and try to search for them. They'll not find them, because we know exactly what God was doing in Laodicea and what the whole purpose of it was. Like, people, they know bits and pieces of things, but they don't know the whole purpose of things and the plan of God, what his will is, and his when the day of Pentecost, what was it all to do? Was to call out a people. See, it's all part of a plan. Now, if people don't fall into that calling of the bride, there's also the calling of the great multitude. And those on the sea of glass, they will rule at the lesser capacity in the millennium. And then there's the mortals. It's all part of that redemptive program that God has to redeem everything back to Him. When you don't create something and it just, you create it just to deteriorate and to collapse and to be destroyed. When God created this universe and all of creation, He knew that one day He'll be able to redeem it back to Himself, because in order to redeem something, it has to be in a fallen state. Now, this creation was in a fallen state because of sin. Now, in order to show us all of His attributes of who God is, He wanted to make sure that we understand that He's also a redeemer. He's not just a creator. He can also redeem something from a sinful state and redeem it back to Himself. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the picture. Without Jesus, that would not have been possible. And then when you see the religious world out there, and that's what the devil is using to deceive people away from God, to divert people away from God. And that's why we combat against that religion so much, because it's fake, it's not real. People live in deception and in bondage in these religious systems, and they don't realize that Jesus has done it all at Calvary.
Amen to that. What we're just trying to do, we're just trying to expose it. Just like I said, He told Jeremiah, I've sent you to destroy, to pull down, to pull out. And simply all you have to do, He didn't mean you should go and they didn't burn down their barns. We're talking about the religiology of it. That's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're just exposing that false religion, that how Satan has blinded the people, and we're just trying to drag everything back as it was, so shall it be. And we just read it here. What has been will be, and what will be has been already. And where did you that scripture you read yesterday about the sons of Zebedee? Where did you find that? Or this woman, she came falling down before Jesus, and she had a real request from Him. I'll read the one in Matthew 20:20. Then the matter of the sons of Zebedee. See, I'm just trying to show you what's going on out here in these religions, people. The human nature doesn't change. Everybody got that same human nature as Nimrod. Let's go out there and make a name for ourselves. That's basically the bottom line for the human race. And here, then Matthew 20:20, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Him with her sons, and kneeling down, she asked Him for a favor. He went to Jesus, because every Jew, they were looking for somebody that deliver him out of that Roman bondage. And she was taught that Jesus is going to be the person that's going to set up an earthly kingdom here to deliver them from that Roman hierarchy. And someday He'll be like King David. And then she came to Him, because when you come to your throne, I want one of my sons. I want, and today's language, we bring it into today's language. I want my son to be the preacher, and I want my second son to be the boss. It's just that simple. I want my son to sit at the right hand, and I want my other son to sit at the left hand. And He said to her, what do you want? Because she was serious with this request, because she came to Him with her sons kneeling down, like really gut-wrenching seriousness. She had a request for her son to be that wonder number one, number two guy, and said to her, what do you want? She replied, permit these two sons of mine to sit one on your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. Like I say, she wasn't talking about that millennial kingdom. She was simply thinking that every Jew thought, because it's true that we thought He's going to deliver, we might, and that's all these Israelites. They thought He's going to deliver the Jews from the Roman bondage, from the Roman hierarchy. So she can, when you come to your throne, he says, I want to sit at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom, because he thought, he was for sure thought he's going to set up his kingdom here. Jesus answered, and here's the that's just a part of the nature of the human being. Jesus answered, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I'm about to drink? And they said to him, we are able. See, he addresses them because they had a conspiracy going between them and their mother. Apparently, back in Jewish tradition, the mother was very, she carried a lot of clout, and she had a lot of say-so. Because he said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink? They said to him, yes, we are able. He told them, you will drink the cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to give. Rather, it is for those to whom it has been prepared by my Father in heaven. But now, when the 10 had heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them aside and said to them, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions use their authority over them. See, that's the Hutterite structure. That's how that Hutterite structure is. But those preachers and those people in a position of power, they lord it over the people, because that's the only way that system can function. And then Jesus said, come here, I'm going to tell you how my system works. I got a complete different system, but Jesus called them aside and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. See, all that Leonard is, he's a ruler of the Gentiles. Let's just be realistic now. Just because it's hidden in religiology and tradition and religion and all that stuff, that don't mean that it's Christianity. But Jesus pulled them aside and he tell them, you know that the rulers, the Leonards of this world, the Joe from Cyprus, the Eli from Hidden Valley, they're the rulers of that commune there. The Leonard is that ruler of Delta. And the rulers of the Gentile, they lord it over the people. They do exactly what you're saying here. They lord it over the people and high position. They're in a position of power. They're in a position of authority. And if you don't do what they say, they bring in the Gestapo. Like I was telling you earlier, I went through their torture system because I began to see the cracks in it. I didn't go along with their stuff. And I began to see who's driving that force. It's the spirit of Satan that's driving that force. And I read these scriptures back in the day. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions use their authority over them. But here it says, it must not be this way among you. This is a new pattern. Mm-hmm. This is a different pattern altogether. Mm-hmm. It must not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first among you must be your slave. A complete different program than what these zealots and these religious leaders have. A complete different program than what that Leonard. They don't like to use their true color. They don't like to use force. But I keep saying, when push comes to shove, it's the same spirit that the Catholic Church did in the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. If they could, they would take you out, you and me out, and burn us at the stake. And they would do exactly what the Jews did back when they stoned Stephen. They got so mad that they started throwing rocks at him. That's what that same spirit that's going on in the Dark Ages, because, like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. What has been before will be again, and then someday God's going to call this into account. He's going to call this into judgment. Just up the road here. Mm-hmm. All we're doing, we're exposing it and we're bringing it out in today's language. It's the same, it's a Gentile program, because it's built on fear mongering, it's built on force, and it's built on the same program that happened right here.
It's built on tyranny, you know.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord. You ask for wisdom, Lord, how to exercise this very thought here that you've allowed us to come in contact with, Lord. We just pray you'll give me the wisdom to say it the right way so that it'll resonate with the hearts of the people, that they've been following a, They've been on a wild goose chase. They're following something that's not real. They've been deceived. They've been duped. Just like we keep telling about that man that had the body experience, that long and desire. He thought living in the commune is going to cut it. But he had an out-of-the-body experience, and he came back and told them everywhere he went, we're being deceived, we're being duped, and all we're doing, we're just trying to use that weaponry that he had to expose it here in his closing days of time, that these people have been duped so that he can repent and change their ways before it's too late, so they don't have to spend eternity in hell, so they don't have to say to the rocks fall on us and to the mountains cover us, amen, that's coming back here in under 3 years' time, Lord. We just pray you'll give us the wisdom how to exercise this very important thought, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen. Amen. See, that's all we're doing. We don't hate these people. In fact, 30 years ago, I was in their kangaroo court, and the Lord allowed that to happen. He allowed me to go to their kangaroo court. He allowed me to tell them exactly where it's at, that it's in the ministry of Brother Brim and Brother Jackson, that God sent the prophet, and that baptism that they have is of the devil. And now, after 30 years later, they see the direction everything is going, and hopefully by now they'll come to their senses and realize what you and I are telling is 100% the truth. But see what they did. They did exactly what they did back in the days of Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees, they kept the people from the truth. They tried to convince people that Jesus is not real. He's not that one. But
they had everything sewn up. Like when you go back to the time of Jesus, before John the Baptist, like this religious leaders had everything sewn up. They had a people where they wanted them, they worshipped them, they bowed down to them practically, and they were the people. But here comes John the Baptist, and here God's doing something, right? He is totally changing the tide of events here now. He called John the Baptist, and he was to forerun the message, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he was down at the Jordan River baptizing, and then the ordinary folks, they started to flock towards John the Baptist. And see, these religious leaders, they were losing their control on people. You can understand how they felt. And they came down to John the Baptist and started spying everything out. Because here their turf is starting to be threatened. You can understand that that Satan is really feeling threatened here, because God is doing something here, and here's John the Baptist preaching the baptism of repentance, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and all these things of kingdom of God. And they are the religious leaders. They would have never chosen John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. But God came on the scene, mm-hmm. and that was the time now for John the Baptist and his message to come and forerun the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming. And then Jesus came along. Oh, he really exposed who they really are to the people. Like up until then, they were unchallenged in their ways of doing things. They were the people. And here comes Jesus, and he exposes, woe unto you, scribes, and on the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and he exposed them all, these zealots. And it's no different in this age. There's these Pharisees of our day and hour, but they just have a different name. And and people think they are the people, and they're so scared to come against that they're fear-mongered. And I can understand when you're in that, living in that environment really grabs a hold of you, and you're scared, you're fear-mongered into it. But, you know, it's just a tactic of Satan, how he does that to control people. It's not real. If they would have had to say Jesus would never have come on the scene. And if they, the same way goes today, like these preachers of this day and hour, they just pass the kingdom down to their son. It's an earthly mm-hmm. kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, but if God were supposed to choose somebody, they would really harass that person. Like the minute you started standing up and exposing their wrong, they did everything that was listed, just like they did to John the Baptist and Jesus, you know. You stood up and you exposed their wrong and the unfruitful works of darkness, and right away they want to get rid of that voice because it threatens their turf, you know. It threatens their kingdom, and that's just, the Satan is being threatened them. And that's how the Holy Spirit works, you know. He has somebody stand up and expose what they're doing. And then it's up to people to decide then and to make a decision what they're going to follow. Are you going to follow the Holy Spirit, the ways of righteousness and the ways of God? Or are you just going to follow corruption? A person has to make a decision what they're going to follow.
Especially here in these closing days of time. You know where that is in Revelation? Where they say that the mountains fall on us and that the hills cover us from him that's coming back.
I think it's Revelation chapter 6, right?
You know, all we're doing, we're sending out warning signals because we know the time is very short and Satan has these people duped and we've given the mandate to do what we're doing. We don't shy away. We're bold. We've got salt, and we tell the people the way they are. That Leonard, he's just working for a materialistic system, mm-hmm. and then he's got his sons lined up, and then he's actually like we're saying yesterday that what they're doing when they make a preacher, they make out of him a two-fold child of hell. He's just taking his sons that were meant to have a kingdom, a place in that heavenly kingdom, mm-hmm. and that town near reign of Christ. What he's doing, he's robbing them of that eternal bliss, and he's giving them a kingdom here on this earth, and he's robbing them because you can't have both. What all we're doing, we're trying to warn these people that they'll smarten up and then get real, because this thing, this other right thing, is just the kingdom of this world, just like we were reading here. They're just the kingdom of this world, and they use force, and they use threatening, and they use everything they can as a last resort. They don't like to show their true colors.
Right.
They just use it when push comes to shove, just like they did with me. They left me alone there. I didn't rock the boat, but there came a day when I couldn't be quiet anymore, and I stuck up to the plate. And I know exactly what they're going to use. They're going to force you, and they're going to threaten you. They're going to use your wife. They're going to use your children. They're going to use everything they can get your hands on. Well, you can't come to church here anymore. I just dragged through their torture chambers. That's just the way back in the day of the Dark Ages, they took them down and burned them at the stake. But here they're doing that. They're doing it this way. We're just trying to prove how corrupt that system is, and we're just trying to prevent them from what's just up the road here. Did you find that?
Yeah, Revelation 6. Mom, you could start in verse 12, I guess.
And we know what's coming up the road here in 3 years from now, because we got that midnight cry, and we got the countdown, and we know exactly where we're living right now in the week of Daniel, and after the week of Daniel, 7 years, then Jesus comes down to the day of the Lord. See, this sixth seal, that's the coming of the Lord. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That's happening just 3 years up the road here. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree that casteth untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll. See, the heavens will open up when it is rolled back together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, this is the scripture that I want, and the kings of the earth, the very important people, that Leonard, he's a king of the earth, he's the king of Delta. He's the king of the earth. And very important people. They're very important people in their own eyes. And that Hutterite religious setting. And the kings of the earth, the king of Delta, the king of that Hutterite nation, and very important people, the generals, the boss, the fire boss, the people that are in a position of power, the general, the rich and the powerful, and every slave, everyone, slave and free, hid themselves and the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. He said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to withstand it? Like we said, when Enoch saw that day approaching, he saw Jesus coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment, to execute his fury and his reign on these kings and these potentates. We're just bringing it into today's hour because the people have been duped, they've been deceived, that they think that that other thing is of God. It's not, it's of the devil. The devil, back in the Martin Luther hour, he infiltrated the Christianity, and he brought in that community style living, which is first class socialism. He just had a religious way of dragging the people back into the dark ages, mm-hmm. again, into socialism. Mm-hmm. That's all that other I think. It's a first class socialism on steroids. Just exactly what the devil did in the dark ages. And he had a very good program. He was able to deceive the people, and he had to pay the Roman Catholic Church for everything. If we want to get buried, and it's the same thing here. That authorized system is built on the same thing. All your labors, all you work on every day for is just simply to uphold a diabolical system that you mm-hmm. don't have the freedom to, like you and I. You and I, we got the freedom to go look at the mountains, to go look at the Grand Canyon, because we're free. We're out of that religious bondage. And then, but they got their people locked in there that they can't even make a move without getting the go-ahead from the leaders, from the king and the potentate. But see, just up the road here, just a few years from now, that whole thing is going to come to an absolute end because Babylon, it's all part of that Babylon mm-hmm. structure. Mm-hmm. Babylon is coming down, and 3 years from now, there will be no such a thing mm-hmm. as a Hutterite colony. They'll be communed, but they'll be driven by the Spirit of the Living God. They will not be driven by the Leonards of this world and by the Jew from Cyprus of this world and mm-hmm. these theologians, these thugs and these kings and these potentates and these people in the position of power. All we're doing, we're just exposing it for what it is, because God has given us a mandate to do this very thing that we're doing. We don't like doing it, but we have no other choice. We have no other option. If we don't do what we're doing, God is going to hold us liable. And they can't do nothing to us because they've done everything they could to us already. Mm-hmm. When you lost everything, you have nothing more to lose. You and I have nothing to lose. All we got to do, we're about the Father's business, and God has given us the wisdom and the understanding. He has given us the full counsel of God so that we can finish the job that He's given us. He's given us exactly right to the day where we're living in time. We have October the 15th, 2021. From there you can count 7 years. That is over for Satan's 6,000-year reign, and he will be no more, because that angel comes down and he throws him into hell. And the very minute that happened, then the heavens are open up and they're going to see Jesus coming back. And just exactly what he said, we read the other day, this damn Jesus that you saw, he's coming back in like manner. He's going to come back to the stars and when the cloud, and every eye shall see him, and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. But they'll be too late. They'll be into the mountains, falling us, because he's coming back with power and great glory. He won't be no more a little baby in a manger. He's coming back as King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to execute judgment on those people that rejected the truth. Mm-hmm. All we're doing, we're just sending out a warning shot so that people can still have time to turn their ways to the Lord. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. And accept the truth for your day. That's all we're doing.
That's right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we know that you've given us the understanding of these things, Lord, so that we can expose them and teach people what it's all about, and so that we can, the truth can set them free, Lord. It's not us that sets anybody free. It's the truth, Lord. If they come to the knowledge of the truth of what is religion, and that Satan uses religion to keep people in bondage, Lord, and all these earthly kingdoms, all these earthly thrones, they're going to fall, because there's only one throne that's going to be raised up in the millennium, and that's the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. So we just like to help people, set them free, Lord, from from the bondage of religion, Lord, and let them come to the knowledge of truth, Lord, so that they can be set free. We give you thanks for your word, for everything you've done for our hour. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.